Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how's it going today?
It is going great, man. I mean, we're just getting too many questions. We're too popular. We just got to keep banging out shows, right?
This is a good problem to have. Matt, we had so many good questions last week. I mentioned at the beginning of that show that we had our most ever. And like we always do, we didn't get to answer them all. And we felt bad. So here we are again to answer some more of those questions.
Yeah,
just keep them coming. We love it. It's lots of good topics, a variety. And with free agency and draft and combine and all those things on the horizon, it's good to have that mix of questions. All right, let's get into our question. First one from Dane. Russell Wilson has been a top five quarterback for a few seasons. This year he was quarterback one. Is it time to cash out, or is he too valuable in a super flex league to give up those remaining years of top tier value? So Wilson's been in the league 8 years, had that surprise breakout rookie season, even after he was a third round pick, I believe, third or fourth, quarterback eight his rookie season, quarterback three, quarterback 10, and quarterback one this season. So quarterback 10 is his worst showing, still relatively young, especially from a quarterback perspective. And like I said earlier, I kind of feel like he's a little bit discounted compared to some of the other, maybe more flashier quarterbacks. I'm hanging on to Russell Wilson in a super flex league. I don't really see much of a reason to trade him.
I sort of disagree. And I think he's a great player and a tremendous fantasy player because of his legs. I just see things in Seattle going a little south, you know, that on both sides of the ball, that in we look at his career, I think this might be a little bit of a downtime when they're 7-8 type of win team again. And that doesn't mean the offense is going to be terrible, but they don't have a lot of a running game. Jimmy Graham's a touchdown machine. I don't think he'll be back. They might start to break in the Darbos of the world and people like that. And that league that I just mentioned, I traded for Aaron Jones. I was utterly rebuilt. I traded Wilson and I had end up getting Mariota, like I mentioned, and I had Goff. So I traded Wilson for a mid second this year, an 18 second and an 18 first, or a 19 second, a 19 first, and an 18 mid-round set, mid-second.
Yeah, I think you did pretty well there. So not necessarily a player I would suggest selling, certainly not a sell at all cost type player.
No.
But yeah, that cash out in a one quarterback league is a nice one for sure.
Yeah, I was happy with that.
Next question from Charles. The tight end spot has become the churn and burn position these days, with the top tier from 2 or 3 years ago all facing decline or injuries. Of course, talking about Reed, Graham, Eifert, guys like that. Kelce and Ertz have a history of concussions, but yet are still very costly in startups. Is it smart to just recycle them for some already on the rise name? So tight end position is interesting, especially when you're looking at ADP. Travis Kelce is the tight end one right now. That's the first time in almost 4 years that Gronkowski has not been the tight end one. Gronk is tight end two. Of course, that has to do with his rumored retirement consideration. What's your take there really quickly? You think that's for real? Do you think he?
No.
No.
No, I don't. I mean,
cut and dry.
I just think you see sometimes late in the year after a tough loss, people say that.
Okay. So maybe he's a value at this point, but of course he has his annual injury issues. It's Kelce, Gronk, Ertz, and then we've got the young guys, Ingram at four, Hunter Henry at five, Howard at six, and Njoku at seven, before you get into that group that's just kind of, I don't know what to do with these guys. Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed is still in that tight end one range just because there is nobody else.
Wow.
This one's kind of interesting. George Kittle is tight end 12, a tight end really? One.
I mean, I like Kittle. I got him from the really cheap and I'm really happy about that. But that amazes me that he's going that high. And I guess it is partially because the Jordan Reeds and Eiferts and all these guys have been so banged up and hard to trust. But like, you didn't even mention Eric Ebron. I mean, Eric Ebron's that boring guy that nobody wants anymore.
Right.
But he's a good football player, and he's gotten better.
I think the Kittle ADP probably says more about the guys below him. Ebron is right below him at 13. Mark Andrews, the Oklahoma tight end, the incoming rookies, 14. Doyle, Hooper, ASJ, Dallas Goedert, another incoming rookie is 18. Eifert, Shaheen, Delanie Walker. It's just kind of a group that's all muddled in there together. The guy at 22, you're talking about guys you want to buy this offseason. Tight end 22, Trey Burton, Eagles backup, a free agent now, unrestricted free agent. We have to assume he's not going back to Philly, only because I would think he's looking for more playing time and a payday. He's a player. I actually have him ranked as a tight end one. He's my tight end 11 in Dynasty. So he's a player that I would be buying. And depending on the format of your league, he may still be on the waiver wire. He was late season pickup mid season pickup when Ertz was dealing with some injuries. When Ertz came back, some people just dumped Burton. I hung on to him, as did several others. But he's a guy to check your waiver wire for. That might be – last year we said go add Rex Burkhead. That worked out pretty well. So maybe it's Trey Burton this year.
Yeah, I think it's a great call. I don't know if I'd call him a top 12 guy, but maybe I will in a month or two. Eagles are cash-strapped. I don't think there's any chance he comes back. And he's going to make money. I mean, somebody's going to pay him well to be their starting tight end. The other name on that list late that I'm targeting is Adam Shaheen.
Yeah.
You know, their head coach comes over from Kansas City, offensive guy. We know how they use Kelsey. And I'm not saying he's Kelsey. I mean, he's a highly talented dude that we knew was going to take a year or two coming from a tiny school. Unless they go sign a Shaheen or unless they go sign a Eifert or Burton or somebody like that, I can see Shaheen getting a real spike.
I think there's some good buying opportunities there, because when you talk about that rookie class from last year, of course the talk is all about Ingram and Howard and Njoku, which is deserved. Mm-hmm. But that next tier down, Kittle at 12, I don't see a ton of difference between Kittle, Shaheen, Jonnu Smith, and even Gerald Everett. Kittle is 12, Shaheen is 20, Jonnu Smith, 24, Everett, 25.
Those last two would be a step behind the other ones to me. See, I kind of see that there's two tiers there, Kittle and Shaheen, and then the other two who are fighting for playing time right now.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Opportunity-wise alone, that's probably mm-hmm. fair.
And as much as I like Njoku, he's like 7. You know, like Engram to me is light years ahead of Njoku. Like, you can start Engram every week right now. You can't start Njoku. And I like him, but you can't put the check mark in his box.
Right. But you're still taking him, I mean, dynasty startup, you're taking him over Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, for sure.
Over Greg Olsen, over Jordan Reed. So this whole conversation goes back to Charles's question that tight end is just really – really kind of muddy right now, because even your top guys have some concerns with injuries. That mid-tier is young and somewhat unproven. And then everybody else is just kind of a dart throw from 8 down to 25 or so.
It makes you think, you know, it's really nice to have Engram or Henry or Ertz, you know, but I mean, Ertz is going to cost a little bit more. That they're young and they're startable and they might only be getting better. The one guy, too, that we kind of mentioned his name, but if I can buy Tyler Eifert dirt cheap.
You can.
Yeah, exactly. And if he's hurt, I won't start him. If he's playing, I'm going to start him, no matter where he lands.
I think you can buy him for a third in most leagues.
I'll take it. Give me Njoku and Eifert, and that doesn't cost me that much and prepares me for the future. And
yep. Next question from John. How should we value Lamar Jackson if he ends up behind an aging veteran like Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Rivers, Rodgers, even in a super flex rookie draft? So I think Jackson NFL draft wise is kind of becoming slotted in as the fifth guy behind Darnold and Rosen and Allen and Mayfield and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So he's the fifth guy. He's probably again and in from that lens, he's probably closer to Mason Rudolph maybe than he is that top tier. You still hear the whispers that he should play wide receiver and things like that. So all that stuff is still out there. Now, from a fantasy perspective, I think he gets a bump. And I've seen several people say that he's their quarterback one, rookie quarterback one in fantasy simply because of his running and playmaking ability. So if he lands in a spot like that where he's obviously going to sit in 2018, maybe even 2019, but get that opportunity down the road, I think that would be ideal. His draft value would probably fall a little bit just because of the lack of immediate opportunity, but that would just create a value. If he falls to the late first, early second, that's where I would be considering him.
Yeah, I think he's somebody I want on my dynasty team. You know, there's so many quarterbacks, but especially in the Superflex world, I think I would pay for him almost no matter where he lands. I was thinking from a different perspective, though, is what if Buffalo uses one of their two first-round picks on him, or Jacksonville at the end of round one takes him, or a team like the Jets doesn't get their guy in the first round but trades back to 32 and takes him or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where there's a clearer path.
I try to read a different mock draft every day just to stay updated on how different people are viewing the draft and the individual prospects. It's crazy that basically a new mock draft comes out from somebody on some site somewhere every single day. Most of those don't have Lamar Jackson in the first round, but I agree with you. I still think he ends up as a late first rounder. And I don't think it's out of the question that he kills the combine and he kills his pro day and some team falls in love and takes him 13 or something like that.
Do you think he'll run under a 4.5?
I think he's faster than Vic was.
Ooh, I forget what Vic ran, but
I do too.
There wasn't many people on the field faster than Vic.
Why I said it that way. I've heard some say he has a better arm than Vic. I don't think that's the case. I do think he's an improved passer. I saw a ton of him being just a few minutes down the road from me. So certainly improved. And clearly I think he's a quarterback in the NFL. That doesn't mean he's guaranteed for success or anything like that. But I think trying to move him to a different position would not be wise.
Yeah. I think I said this before about him. Maybe it wasn't even on this podcast, but I think that's crazy talk. And I'm not even talking about dynasty, but to me, it's a little more appealing that if he is sitting behind Rivers, maybe you still have him active on game day and he runs five routes for you. You know, he can still help your team, even though he goes to the quarterback reading room every day, that maybe he comes out as a decoy, as a Cordell Stewart for a year, or worst case scenario, you have him in your building for 2 or 3 years and you're like, this guy isn't going to make it a quarterback. Maybe we can save our career, our pick, and put him in a different meeting room. But to draft him as a wide receiver or anything other than quarterback is stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, we got a question from one of my Dynasty Command Center folks earlier from Charles. We got another one now from Stan. Would you be trading for Dante Moncrief, and what would you pay? So we've had a kind of an ongoing conversation at Dynasty Command Center this week about Moncrief. I know Stan likes him. I'll spoil that for you. I still like him too. What about you? Do you still like him? Are you still a believer? Are you still trading for him in Dynasty? He's, of course, entering free agency. I think he ends up on a new roster. I don't think the Colts
agreed
make much of an effort to sign him. So I'm excited to see where he lands. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think he won't be back with the Colts. I was a believer, and I'm really down on him.
Yeah.
But if you look at it like a stock, maybe this is the time to buy, you know, because I think you got to be able to get him cheap right now. And not knowing where he lands, somebody's going to give him money. Maybe it's a 1-year deal, and maybe that's best for him. Who knows? originally when I heard you read this question, I said, not much. And then I said, well, maybe this is really a buying opportunity.
Let's stick with that same evaluation we had for Tariq Cohen and I forgot who the other guy was, but 2.8. Are you giving 2.8 for Moncrief?
No, but I'll give you a 3.2.
Okay. I think I would hold at that price. Mm-hmm. If I can buy him for any third rounder, I would do that. I think I might buy him for a late second as well. I'm still pretty intrigued. This is a top 25 dynasty valued player not so long ago. So if he does land in a new spot, if he flashes, I think his value can bounce back pretty quickly. So if you want to view that, like you said, as a stock, as a buying and then selling opportunity, I think that could pay off.
Would you rather Marquise Lee, who I also think will be changing teams?
Yes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I would rather have Moncrief than Lee.
I think I would, too. I'm not a big of a Lee fan. I think Moncrief has more ability.
All right, couple more here. You mentioned Landry earlier. Billy says, will Landry leaving Miami finally lead to the DeVante Parker breakout? We probably spoiled this question. Spoiled this question with your earlier trade talk.
I'd shop him.
Yeah, I still don't know if I don't know if I believe that Landry's going to be gone, first of all. And if he is, just like the DeVante Booker situation for me, I would take the opportunity to sell Parker. He was basically outplayed by Kenny Stills all year, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know I like Parker more than you do, but I think people will look at the dynasty world and say this is the time to buy him before Landry leaves. Those targets have to go somewhere. I'm kind of looking at it from a defensive coordinator perspective. If I have a number one corner, I'm putting him on Parker. And I don't think he's willing. I don't think he's able to handle that. And I'm almost positive that Pro Football Focus, which I put a fair amount of faith in,
right,
said that Parker had the second toughest cornerback matchups in 2017 with Antonio Brown being number one. And that makes you think, well, maybe I'll jump on him, but I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, like he's going to get Stephon Gilmore twice a year. You know what I mean? Like anyone that plays, they're going to take him away with their best guy, and he's not really a one.
Yeah, I have some of those same concerns, and I don't think it's the DeVante Parker breakout. I do think we could see some improvement, but that doesn't mean he's a fantasy starter. He has two career top 24 wide receiver weeks, I believe is mm-hmm. the number, which is not good.
It's not reliable.
Question from Big Mike. Where would you rank Cortland Sutton versus the 2016 and 2017 wide receiver draft classes? And also would
jump
be,
on that.
Yeah. So let's think about that one first. 2016, 2017 wide receivers. So I want Corey Davis over him. I want Juju over him.
Mike Williams?
I'd probably go Sutton there.
I kind of would like to snag Mike Williams right now.
Yeah. Yeah. His value's dropped, and I like him as a buy and see what happens as well. But I mean, if we're saying that Sutton is a top five pick, I don't know that I'm giving that for Mike Williams though.
Right. Like I'm sitting here going, I'd give you 110 for Mike Williams, but I'm not going to get Sutton at 10.
Right. 2016 rookies. Who were the 2016 rookies, Matt?
I should probably know that, but I don't.
I don't either.
Cooper's class was 15. Who was 16?
2016 rookie wide receivers. Oh, this is why I didn't remember. I've blocked this from my memory. Laquon Treadwell.
I hear he's getting traded, by the way.
I hope so. Where?
I mean, would you give up a mid-third for Treadwell? Hope he ends up somewhere else.
I'm still holding out some hope. I think I'm holding out hope only because of Devin Funchess and Nelson Agholor and guys like that.
So, yeah, right. I'm holding out for Corey Coleman still, who's in that class.
I would like to see Treadwell traded, though. Maybe get a little bit of an opportunity, and we can know for sure that he's bad. Right. Treadwell, Boyd, Dotson, Michael Thomas is the prize of that class at wide receiver. Corey Coleman, Sterling Shepard, Will Fuller. That's pretty much it from the wide receiver group. So 16, 17.
The only question is Shepard. Would you rather have Shepard or Sutton?
I would rather have Sutton. I think Will Fuller is at least in the conversation, though.
Really?
Well, as much as Sterling Shepard is.
I mean, I'd rather Mike Williams than Will Fuller.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that goes back to the earlier conversation. I can't.
So if you're combining the two classes plus Courtland Sutton, it's Michael Thomas one, probably Juju and Corey Davis two and three, however you like those.
Sutton four-ish.
And then Sutton is probably four ahead of Mike Williams and
Shepard,
Coleman, Fuller, Dotson, and anybody else we might have missed from last year.
Pretty lean years.
Yes. Yeah. That's why we're looking forward to 2019. So, Mike's second part of that question, with the first two picks in the first round of a Superflex rookie draft, Barkley going 101, of course, is it a no-brainer for Geis or Michelle to be the 1.02? Any chance Sutton slips in? I mean, to me, it would be, I don't know what Mike's Superflex league is like, but to me, I think there's more of a conversation for Darnold or Rosen.
Max Rosen and Asher, yeah.
Whoever your favorite quarterback is.
Why even mention the word Superflex if you're going to ask the question that way?
Well, yeah, right. Well, I think those guys have a stronger case for 1.02 than Sutton does. So to me, if we're drafting right now in a super flex rookie draft, I'm deciding between Geis and Rosen at 1.02.
And I think based on our previous conversation, Lamar Jackson's name might be in the conversation at least, right?
Right. Well, Jackson and Darnold and Mayfield, depending on what you think of him, those guys are all in there. Honestly, I'm probably taking in that format, I'm probably taking three quarterbacks and three running backs before I take Sutton. So he's more of a mid first rounder in that super flex format, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, Geis for sure over Sutton.
Right.
Maybe Ridley over Sutton. I mean, if he's a first round pick and Sutton isn't, then, you know.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to be a first round pick.
And Ridley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by all accounts, he'll be the first wide receiver off the board. I think a guy like Christian Kirk could actually sneak up there, kind of like we saw Ross really move up the mock drafts and things. We saw Will Fuller really move up. I think Kirk could do the same thing. I don't know if he can move up enough to become the top drafted wide receiver, but that's kind of how I see it.
If Kirk's a late first round pick or goes to Dallas or something like that, he'll go pretty early in Dynasty.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right. Last question comes from Greg. In year two of a Dynasty league, have lots of running backs, Hunt, Cook, McCaffrey, Hyde, Ajayi, Aaron Jones. Keep coming back to him. Not many wide receivers or quarterbacks. He mentions Sammy Watkins, Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp, Martavis Bryant, has 1.2, 2.3 in a rookie draft. Who should he be trading? What wide receiver should he target to trade or draft? Lots of options there. Yeah, keep Jones. Don't fall low on Jones.
Would you consider moving one of those other backs, though?
Sure.
That's my first thought. Ajayi.
I would probably take advantage of free agency as soon as Carlos Hyde signs somewhere that looks like he's going to be the starter. I would trade him. Mm-hmm. You've got the 1.02, and it doesn't look like it is a not a super flex. Right. So that's Geis. If you feel strongly enough, you can trade down, acquire some extra draft capital, but don't take wide receiver just because you have that need there.
Absolutely not.
What about this move?
And this would take a little bit of maybe hemorrhaging your money for a year. But if you, I'm not saying trade 1.02, but didn't he have another first round pick?
He has 2.03 as well.
If you could trade 2.03 for a next year first, or somehow, I mean, that won't quite work, but you'd have to put a little juice on it, or Hyde for an 18 first, or Ajayi, or, you know, maybe the 2018 class is the answer to your wide receiver needs.
2019, right?
19, correct, right.
Yeah, and honestly, I think once 2-3 is on the clock, again, the depth of this class, yeah. I think you could maybe find a buyer for a 2019 first.
There'll be an owner that says, I'm going to win the league this year. I'll trade that first. It'll be 112 next year, and then other guys get hurt, and you get a top five pick.
if it plays out like that, that would be nice. All right. Matt, our last question today comes from Andy. And Andy says, with an apparently stellar wide receiver class coming in 2019, do you devalue current receivers in a startup this year? So we've talked about that 2019 wide receiver class on here a little bit before. There's so many names. N'Keal Harry from Arizona State is the prize, but there are so many. We'll have to do some Devy talk soon. Get our buddy Nick Whalen back for a Devy episode.
So this dude from Arizona State, is he a Andre Johnson, Julio, AJ Green, NFL type talent?
I think that's how most people are viewing him and valuing him already.
Now that's a dynasty asset as a 20-year-old or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he's also one of the youngest, wide receivers in that class as well, maybe the youngest of the prominent ones. So that will be appealing to dynasty players as well. So back to Andy's question, what looks like a strong wide receiver class, very strong. I in fact compared it to the 2014 wide receiver class earlier several days ago on Twitter. So with that class coming in, do you devalue the current receivers? I think wide receivers are being devalued anyway because of the rise up of the running backs. I don't know, unless I was doing full on productive struggle where I would just hoped to lose in 2018. I don't know that I would let the 2019 class affect too many of my draft picks though. All right. Thanks again to all our listeners and the questions that were submitted. Again, so many great ones. We had to come back for another week, another round of Dynasty Q&A. We appreciate those. And I think we got to them all this time. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.